So today, the title of today's sermon is The Danger of Hell. Can we say that together? Amen. And in this sermon is addressed to believers. I'm not talking to unbelievers here, although I would do a bit of, but to believers. Because when Jesus was talking about the dangers of hell, he was actually talking to his disciples. Those who believed in him, not to those who didn't believe. Amen? So first, let's open our Bible to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. And look at verse 13 to 14. Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 to 14. And like I said, the title to this sermon is The Danger of Hell. Okay, can I have a volunteer to read? Matthew 7, verse 13 to verse 14. Yes? New King James Version, New Living Translation, Amplified. Matthew 7, 13 to 14. And please remember, what are we operating in this church? Only your Bible app and your notes app. No other thing for the next 40 minutes or 45 minutes or so. Give God full attention. No texting, no chatting, just Bible app and notes app. Amen. Yes? Go for it.
New Living.
Yes.
You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate.
You can enter God's kingdom only through what? It is exclusive. Amen? It is exclusive. Heaven is exclusive. Just think about an exclusive deal. Amen. And yet, it is inclusive. All may come to heaven. But there's only one way. Amen. All may come. God so loved the world, he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. All. Whosoever. However, there's only one way. There's only one way to heaven. And you are to enter him through that way. Please continue. And of course, that way is Jesus. It is exclusive. There's no other way. There's no other way. Continue, please.
The highway to hell is broad.
The highway that leads to hell is what?
Broad.
Is broad. Continue.
And its gate is wide for the many who choose that way.
And its gate is wide. And how many on that way?
Many.
Many. Many. So if you want to live your life based on the many, you will find yourself on the highway to hell. Because many are there on that way. So don't define your life just by what the majority does. And heaven is not a democracy. Amen? In heaven, there is only one person's word that stands, and that is God. He said, forever, O Lord, your word is what? He said, you cannot vote God out of power. You cannot vote God's position and say, well, God has his position, but this is what the politicians say, or this is the trend in the world today. Hallelujah. When God sees it, he will just smile. Hallelujah. Because he's Alpha and what? Omega. Hallelujah. From the beginning to the end, is what is settled. Hallelujah. So remember that God, is truth. God gives you truth. And what truth does? Truth will heal your life. The truth will make you free. Hallelujah. When your life is founded on truth, heaven and earth may shake, but truth will stand. Truth is everlasting. Truth does not change. Hallelujah. If you build on truth, you may go through trying times, but you come out victorious. Hallelujah. Because you are planted on solid rock. Hallelujah. The storms may come. There's no guarantee that the storms will not come. But the Bible says that after it all, the house you built will still be what? Standing. Amen? Please continue.
But the gateway to life is very narrow.
The gateway to life. But when I say life, I'm not just talking about heaven. I'm talking about everything that is top quality in life. Everything that is genuine and authentic enduring and lasting. Yeah? That path is what? Is narrow. Amen? It's a path that needs you to say no to some things. Amen? Amen. If you want to say yes to everything, yeah? You can't enter the fullness of the life that God has for you on this earth. You will be compromised. You will be corrupted. Because you couldn't say what? No. Hallelujah. That's the meaning of this narrow. You choose right. And you say no to what is not right. It is the path to life. Please finish it.
And the road is difficult. And only a few ever find it.
Only what? A few. The question you have to ask yourself is, am I part of the many or part of what? The few. Amen. Hallelujah. If you want to make it to life, you have to choose to be part of the few. Amen. You just get into your mentality. Carry it like a badge in your head. I'm part of what? The few. Carry it. Just carry that consciousness. Throw the many mentality into the bin. Throw it away completely. It's your guarantee of entry life. Amen? It's your guarantee. I'm not trying to be part of what? The many. Amen? I'm trying to be part of what? The few. The few who have chosen to do the will of God. Hallelujah. Because in that is life. Amen? Life abundant and life eternal. Amen. Let's have it from New King James. I want to show you something quickly in New King James. And then I'll move on to the next Bible verse. I'll be moving faster today. I like to slow down in teaching, but we don't have much time. And I want to pump it a bit, as much as possible. Well, not too much, just a little bit more. Matthew 7, 13 to 14. New King James. Or King James. Who is ready? Yes, sir. Matthew 7, 13 to 14.
13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in the right.
Yes, let's stay there. The point I wanted to emphasize there is the road that leads to destruction is wide. When you say something is wide, what does that mean? If something is wide, please describe for me what, when you say something is wide, what does that mean? What does that imply? If it's wide, what does that imply? Any adjectives, just describe.
Easy to access.
Easy to access, more? It's wide. If it's wide. How wide can wide be? Is what? There here. Big, yes. If something is wide, what are the adjectives that describe it?
Many different ways to get in.
Yes, 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 many ways. Sometimes there are many ways that lead to God. That's rubbish. There are many ways that lead to hell. That's correct. Amen. Wide? Yes. That's good to the young person. See, as I'm jumping about, it's keeping me young.
Spacious.
Spacious. There's space. We have space for you. Amen. Yes. Wide.
Without measurement.
Without measurement. That's where I wanted to go. There's still one more, but you're closest, yes?
Comfortable.
It's comfy. Amen? It's what? It's comfy. I tell you something. If all you want in your life is comfort and pleasure, which way are you on? Hell. That's all. I don't want any sacrifice. I don't want any, you know, discipline. I don't want any, what? I just want to be comfortable and I want pleasure all the time. Where is it leading to? It's leading to hell. Now, let me explain the part I was sent to talk about. White, it means there's no restriction. There's no boundary. From left to right, you're free to break dance as you like. There's no boundary. That's what it means to be wide. Yeah? But the Bible says that if there's no restriction, if there's no boundary, you can do as you like, Talk as you like. Think as you like. Whatever else you can add it. It says the road that leads to what? Destruction. Because if I say early, you know, it looks, you're just only thinking spiritual. But think general. Yeah? Without control, without discipline, without restriction, it leads to destruction. It is by design. Are you with me? Say I choose to be part of the few. Not the many. That's scriptural. Is that scriptural? Amen? So let's go to John chapter 14, verse 1. John chapter 14, and let's just do verse 6. John chapter 14, verse 6. And we're talking about the danger of hell. Preached by Jesus himself. John 14, 6. Yes? Who has it? Of course, I'm going to preach this message with you with a lot of love. Amen? It is not unloving to preach about hell. If my goal is to make sure that you don't taste it. Amen? That is love. Amen? If not unloving to warn you about the path to destruction. If my goal is to make sure that you don't enter destruction. That is love. It is unloving for me to see you on the path to destruction and keep quiet. Have a barbecue with you. We are all smiling and happy. But I didn't tell you the truth. That is not loving. That's wicked. Amen? Hallelujah. Yes, John 14, 6. Who has it? John 14, 6. Come on, church. Yes. Oh, where is the same people? Where are you all? Are you sleeping? John 14, 6. Come on, somebody else. Yes, thank you, sirs. Let's go this way first. John 14, 6.
Jesus said to him.
Jesus said to him.
I am the way.
I am the way.
And the truth.
And the truth.
And the life.
And the life.
No one comes to the Father.
How many? No one. No one. It's exclusive. The way is what? Exclusive. Yet, it is inclusive. All may come, whosoever. But it's only through one way. Hallelujah. There's only one way. Continue, please.
No one comes to the Father.
No one comes to the Father. Except. What do you mean of except? What do you mean of except? It's exclusive. Amen? Now, the question you need to ask yourself is, why would Jesus be bold enough to make that claim? Someone help me. Why, what gives Jesus the audacity to say that no one comes to the Father except through me? That's an audacious statement. Yes?
Because he is God.
Because he is God. Or if you want to put it more colorful way, because he's the Son of God. Amen? He's the unique Son of God. Amen? Amen? John 3. Jesus was explained to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a religious leader. You know, he had a PhD in the law. The law of Moses. Was explained to him. He said, no more has come down from heaven, ever, except the Son of Man. Amen? I am the one who came down from heaven. So, and no one has ascended back to heaven, except who? The Son of Man. So that's why it's the only way. Amen? He brought heaven to earth. Amen? He brought what? Heaven to earth. And he's the one who died on the cross. You see, the reason why Jesus is the only way is that he's the only one who lived the perfect life. Means he didn't sin. Do you understand that the perfect life is a life of zero sin? It's not to have, you know, live in the greatest skyscraper and ride the latest, what? What's the big, nicest car nowadays? I'm not current. Tell me. Lamborghini or what else? I'm sure there are other cars. Anybody tell me, what's the nicest car nowadays? Well, Ferrari, yeah. You know, there are young people I pity young people. Particularly the one on YouTube and the music videos. A young person feels that if I can just wear a big chain, you know, wear nice, big, nice shoes, and then ride, a Ferrari in my music video. Yeah, and I'm surrounded by girls. I have the perfect life. It's a fluke. Amen? It's a fluke. Amen? Jesus did the perfect life. No sin. And he died the perfect death. Let me tell you why he died the perfect death. Someone who committed no sin died for the sins of others. Yeah? You couldn't die that death because you didn't live the perfect life. Jesus went down. When he died, he went down to hell. So that you don't have to go there. Amen? He went down. And the Bible says that God raised him from the dead. That's why it's the only way. It's the only way. We were out yesterday and I was talking to someone. And I was saying to him, he was like talking to me about, you know, say Hindu. So he was talking to me about, but I thank God he was open and had a conversation with me. And he was talking about that he believes, you know, that when people die, they come back again, you know, in some other form. Until they are perfect, then they go to heaven. So maybe they come from. So I noticed that he said something like they come back as another human. Until I say, is it just human? What about coming back as a cat or a dog or a rat or a worm? Would you like to? And the person's like, I don't think you like the idea of dying and coming back as a fly. You don't want to come to my kitchen. If you come back as a fly and you come to my kitchen, you're in trouble. Because I have fly swatters. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, in your own power, you can't be perfect. But if you take Jesus on board, he can help you. Because he lived a perfect life. Hallelujah. I say, if you take Jesus on board, he's the one that can help you to be perfect. Because he lived a perfect life. And no matter how hard you try, without Jesus, you are going nowhere. I'm telling you, it's the only way. Without him, you are going nowhere. Read all the best books you can read in this world. You are just deceiving yourself. Jesus is the way. He came down from heaven. He died. He lived the perfect life. Died the perfect death. Paid the price for your sin. And he went back to heaven. And he opened the invitation and said, you can come along. You start smiling. Don't you anymore smile? And say, you can come along. Say, there's space in heaven. Big space through a narrow way. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is the way. If you don't know the way, you can't know the truth. Because you're on the wrong way. You see, when you're on the wrong way, you're looking for truth, but you're just going to be moving from one lie to another. You'll be reading books. Yeah? I have a brother in this that likes to read. He likes to read. But, you know, it's one thing to read. It's another thing to read the right thing. Amen? You can spend all your time reading the wrong thing. So to know the truth, you need to know the way. When you are on the right way, you can receive what? The truth. Now, without the truth, you can't have the life. Amen? The life of God is packaged in the truth of God. Hallelujah? And the truth of God is packaged in the way. Jesus says, I'm the way, and I'm the truth, and I'm what? I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So that's something you need to sort out. You need to sort out your relationship first and foremost with Jesus. If you have not, you are wasting your time. Now, let me tell you something about relationship. Relationship can be messed up. Well, let me say it in a way that you understand. We are living in a broken world. Hello? This world is not perfect. It's not a fairy tale story. Bad things happen. Life is broken. What did I say? life is broken. Amen? It's the reality we live in. We live in a world that is full of sickness, of disease, disaster, war, terrorism. It's a broken world. Amen? I don't want to live in this. Let me tell you something now. I don't want to live in this world forever. I don't know about you. I don't want to ever die. No, I want to die, but not now, not yet. Amen? Why I want to stay alive is to fulfill the plan of God for my life. The day the plan of God for my life is finished, I don't need to stay 1 second longer. Amen? What are you in this broken world? But right now, you can't live yet. God has a plan for your life. For you to live this world without fulfilling God's plan for your life is to live a wasted life. Your life was just a waste. It's as if you never lived. Amen? You are here and God has a plan for your life. Make sure you don't live this world without fulfilling the plan of God for your life. Because when you live, your life will not be measured by how much money or how much things you had or how much achievement or degrees you had. It will be measured by how much you did the will of God. Someone say, are you sure? Because it's God that will measure it. And God will use his own standard, not yours. You can't recommend to God how he will measure your life. Say, God, I had a BSc, I had an MSc, I had a PhD. When I finished, I started professional training. Then I got what? What are the professional training? MBA and what are the other trainings? Sorry, MBA is a degree. What are the other trainings that people do? CFA? ACCA? More? Come on, tell me one. You know one. You must know one. Professional training. Yeah? Tell me a professional training. You know a professional training.
Professional training. Yeah,
like something, a training that you do to enhance your job.
Oh, for diplomas.
Yeah, you see, and you for your life, you can be moving from one training to another, isn't it? Are you not embarking on a training? Amen. When you can present that to God and say, God, see my CV. Even if you don't praise me, I praise myself. No. He will measure you by his own standard. Hallelujah. Because he's God. He's not your dog. He's God. Amen. So, the way your life will be best lived, is how much you did the will of God. Amen. And the starting point is to let Jesus be at the forefront. You don't get born again just by saying a prayer. You know? So, are you born again? Say, yes. So, how do you know? Oh, one day when I was 13 years old, I went to the front of the church and I said the prayer and I said to Jesus. If that's your only reference, you have a problem. Hallelujah. The proof that you are born again is that you have a relationship with Jesus. The proof that you are born again is that you have a living, active, continuous relationship with Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Let me explain it this way. If you want to be sure you are born again, you should be able to say to yourself that actually, Jesus is the Lord of my life and I'm following him. Amen. If Jesus is not the Lord of your life, it doesn't matter if you prayed one prayer sometime. Because faith is a living thing. It must be continuous. If I made Jesus the Lord of my life yesterday, he ought to continue to be the Lord of my life today and tomorrow. Hallelujah. You cannot accept Jesus today and then go off and do your own thing as though Jesus did not exist. That means he's not your Lord. If he's your Lord, he's in your life every day. Amen? Hallelujah. If he's your Lord, he's leading your life every day. Or let's say it this way. If he's your Lord, you are living for him every day. I'm not implying that you are perfect. I'm just implying that you are putting at the very forefront and following him daily. Amen? That is the proof that he is in your life as your Lord. And it's your guarantee of eternal life. If Jesus is your Lord, it means that what Jesus is telling you, you are paying attention. The day you stop paying attention, you are beginning to deny his Lordship. Amen? If Jesus says something and he's my Lord, what am I to do? Pay attention. Amen? Hallelujah. Say, I choose to be part of the few. Not the many. Hallelujah. It's your guarantee. You want to be sure. I don't want to gamble with my eternity. I don't know about you. Amen? Sometimes, you know, when I'm meditating as a pastor, you know, I ask myself the question, I said, this Bible I'm reading, do I really believe it? Do I believe every word there? Because I tell you something, if you believe every word there in the Bible, you will live differently. Amen? Nowadays, we have in Christians who don't believe the word. If this word is truth, you will live differently. And if it's not true, let us bin it and have a party. Sister Amen, we coordinate. Sister Amen and Brother Z, you have a nice barbecue. Amen. But if it is true, let's not play. Let us be true believers. Pay attention to what he's saying. Amen. He said the road that leads to life is what? Is narrow. And only few, yeah, find it. Believe that. Who said it? Jesus. Doesn't matter if a preacher told you something different. This is what Jesus said. Amen? He said that the road that leads to destruction is wide. It's the road without restriction. And many are on that road. Believe it. He's giving you the gospel truth. Believe it. Amen? Believe it. You got to believe. Say, I choose to believe the word. Hallelujah. Now, if you believe something, you will stake your life on it. Amen? Let me say this one too, but please, take it with wisdom. If you believe something, you will stake your bank account on it. Now, take that with wisdom, okay? I'm not trying to sin to you. Amen? You will live on it. Anything you cannot live for and possibly die for, you don't believe. Amen? Please turn to your neighbor, smile at them, even if they were your son, and ask them, can you live for Jesus? With a smile. Amen. Let's go to Matthew 5. Let me go to Matthew. I know somebody said, oh, you know, let me deal with Matthew 5, then we finish there. Ah, time is gone, but let me deal with Matthew 5. Matthew 5, are you there? Actually, let's just do Mark. Let's do Mark 9, then I'll finish there. Mark chapter. Come on, what am I doing now? Matthew 5 or Mark 9? I'm not sure. Let's go to Matthew 5. And that's what happens when you are constrained of time. It's time that is causing it. Matthew 5, 21 to 24. Let me just explain that and I'll do 27 to 30 and then I'll leave it. Matthew 5, 21 to 24. You have it? Read it. Matthew 5, 21 to 24. Matthew 5, 21 to 24. Yes, go for it. Yeah, go for it. Go for it. Where's my mic? Who has my mic? Matthew 5, 21 to 24. Is it me? Okay, I have it. Matthew 5, 21 to 24. Go for it.
You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire.
Amen.
Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there, remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you're on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison.
Okay, good, thank you. Let me just explain some principles there. The real subject matter of these verses is you shall not murder. Amen? You know that's one of the Ten Commandments. Amen? To break that commandment, yeah, whether you are born again or not, is to be treading on the wide road that leads to what? Destruction. Amen? Otherwise, why would Jesus waste so many verses on that topic if it's not important? Yeah? Amen? You shall not what? Mother. Amen? If you are born again and you begin to dabble with mother, what are you doing? You are treading on what? The wide road that leads to destruction. But Jesus is not telling you some, giving you some more detail for your benefit. He said, it's not just you shall not mother alone. He's talking to his disciples, not unbelievers. He said, don't even be angry with your brother. Let me explain. Ephesians 4 says, be angry and do not sin. So, he's not saying you cannot be angry, but don't allow anger to take hold of you. Amen? When you are angry, yeah? Let it be under control. Amen? If anger is under control, you can use it for good. The moment anger controls you, it can destroy. Amen? So, someone says, I have the right to be angry. Yes! But you don't have the right to sin with your anger. Amen? So the only way you won't sin with your anger is to keep it under what? Control. Amen? And of course, if you don't control your anger, next moment, what will you call people? You call them what? Idiot. Amen? Do you understand what's going on when you're calling someone an idiot? What are you trying to say about them? If you call someone an idiot, what are you saying about them? Yes, somebody help me. If you feel that someone is an idiot and you call them, what are you saying about them?
You are putting them down.
You're putting them down, Mama. Come on, think. I know what I'm doing. I'm trying to make you think. See, he's just an idiot. I didn't say it. Somebody did.
You're being judgmental.
You're being judgmental, yes. Well, actually, you know, you can be judgmental. You just have to judge righteously. Amen? The Bible doesn't say, it's not that you must always decide between what is right and what is wrong. But when we talk about something being judgmental, is that you are not judging righteously. You are not judging fairly. Yeah? There is a log in your eye. Yeah? Instead of dealing with the bigger problem you have, you are dealing with the smaller problem somebody else has. That's not fair. Amen? Amen? But that doesn't mean that the Bible says when you take off the log in your eye, then you can take off the speck. It didn't tell you not to take off the speck. Are you with me? The Bible did not tell you that you should not take off the speck in your brother's eye. All it told you is that first deal with what? The log. Then you can see clearly to take off. Both are problems, but the log is a bigger problem than the speck. Does it make sense? Yes? Let me move for time. If I stay there and you know, keep taking feedback, time we fly. And then, after calling someone an idiot, he says he's a fool. Yeah? You're being self-righteous. Yeah? People can do foolish things. You can say, well, what you did was foolish. Even that's what was saying that you are what? A complete fool. Amen? Amen? And what Jesus teaches, what's the solution to that? He said that when you bring your gift, yeah? And you remember that there's a problem, go and what? Seek what? Reconciliation. That's the solution. To avoid the path of hell, you repent. You repent. When you miss it, yeah? Don't defend yourself and call somebody else an idiot and a fool. Repent. Yeah? You can repent of your anger. Someone might have offended you rightly. They offended you. But if that anger dominates you, it's a sin. You need to start and say, Lord, I'm sorry for my anger. I'm sorry, forgive me. Amen? Repent. And wherever possible, it's not always possible, I tell you, it's not always possible. Yeah? Because you may want reconciliation, the other person doesn't want what? Reconciliation. You cannot force their will. But try to have a clear conscience on your own side. Let's rise up. Time is gone. I'll do a part two, because I need to finish this discussion. But what we're saying is that, he said if you call your brother a fool, you're in danger of hellfire. What it simply means that you are trading a path that if you allow it to continue to develop and develop, it will lead to destruction. The way to truncate that path is repentance. Amen? It's repentance. Then repentance is not just saying, I'm sorry. The repentance also means that there are some things in your life or some things you are doing that you need to cut off. If you don't cut them off, they will pull you down. Hallelujah. There are problems you cannot solve just by saying sorry. Yeah? You say sorry, then you take action. Amen? If there's something in my house that's causing me to stumble, yeah? After repenting, I ought to take it out of my house. Amen? If there's something I have that is the devil is using easily to trip me up, yeah? I ought to be wise enough to say, you know what? This thing is valuable, but it's not more valuable than my life in God. So I'm going to take it out. Amen? If there are some things you are holding on to, one of the ways of your breakthrough is to dispose them. There are things you can dispose. Amen? There are things you can what? Dispose. So if I don't watch that TV program, it's like I will die. You won't die. You can give it up. Yeah, there's a WhatsApp group you have. You can come out. You know that group is always causing you trouble. Out. Leave the group. Hallelujah. You feel the pain initially, but after a while, you will say, what was even there? Hallelujah. I want to talk to God today. I'm teaching you something. I want you to have life. Abundant life. Eternal life. Yeah? Imagine, one of the ways you can know that you have life is that you have a clear conscience. You have nothing to hide. You have nothing to be afraid of. Even they came to arrest you today, you just present yourself. Well, nothing to hide. You know that very sure they will say you are going back because you know there's no skeleton in your cupboard. That's the life. That's life. That's life. Your relationship with God is clear. Yeah? You have a clear conscience before God. Yeah? You can come to God boldly. You know you've repented of everything you've done wrong. There's nothing else to repent of. Amen? You're not planning to go and commit atrocity. Yeah? And the one you committed, you've repented. That's a clear conscience. That's where you want to be. That's where you want to be. That's life. Pray to God and say, Lord, help me to continue to pursue the path of life. Amen. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for you. When you're in that path, you have the joy of the Lord. Amen. You have a peace that passes all understanding. Hallelujah. The devil will come. He says, Satan, what are you looking for? You have nothing in me. Pack your things and go. Not here. I don't entertain you. I was not your host last night. You have nothing in me. Talk to God. Say, God, give me grace to continue to pursue the path of life. And to stay away from the path of destruction. Give me grace. Give me strength. Give me wisdom. 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 In the name of Jesus Christ. Where I need to reconcile, give me the ability to. Where it's possible. Where I need to repent, give me the grace to. Lord, I want to make the most of my life. Fulfill my destiny. Yeah, and land safely. Land safely into eternal life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. And the church said, I'm going to share.